T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Danny Parkin Show.
Your guy, Park.
What's up, Park?
1670 The Score.
Third and goal for the Cowboys. A minute 43 remaining. Dallas trailing by 4. Lamb went in motion. Dalton looking in. So he throws. Touchdown. Wide open is the tight end, Dalton Schultz. The Cowboys take the lead.
And now Dallas in the best formation ever in the history of football. If you're on the winning side of that victory formation.
Great job by our entire crew here in Minneapolis, led by our producer, Fran Morrison, director, Scott Katz. Happy birthday to our associate director, Caden Pfeiffer.
Oh, is he finally 21?
He will celebrate tomorrow. Our break, Steve Pack, and it's week 11, and the Dallas Cowboys, with their third victory, tied in the win column in the NFC East with Philadelphia, Washington, and the New York Giants.
The Danny Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Looking forward to talking to our next guest. He's got a million jobs. You just heard him there. The NFL on Fox, where he does a great job. The voice of hockey with NBC, and he does MSG, and he's one of the most versatile broadcasters in the game. Kind enough to join us on the Danny Parkin Show with Matt Spiegel in, by way of the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. And on Thanksgiving night, he's calling Ravens and Steelers with our guy Ross Tucker right here on Westwood One. Of course, you could hear that game on The Score. Kenny Albert with us on The Score. Kenny, and you can see him on our Twitch page. How great is that? Kenny, thank you so much for the time. How's it going today?
I'm great, Danny. How are you?
We're doing very well. You know, I guess I introduced that as, like, he's calling Steelers-Ravens on Thanksgiving night. Like, but there is a little bit of question around that game. Are you confident that you are calling Steelers and Ravens Thanksgiving night?
Well, I'm scheduled to call Steelers-Ravens on Westwood One, but I've been following the news, as I'm sure you guys have, and it's certainly been a year like no other, and hopefully you guys and all of your listeners and viewers are safe and healthy, and we'll continue to monitor what's going on with the Ravens over the next couple of days. So hopefully I'll be in Pittsburgh for the game on Thursday night, but we'll continue to follow the news.
Kenny, it's been obviously a crazy year for sports. What has been the oddest thing for you as you have jaunted around and done some different sports? You did some hockey, obviously, and doing the football. What's been strangest for you for COVID play-by-play?
Well, Matt, you know, when I think back to 2020, I think I'll be able to break down the year into a couple of different sections. First of all, the craziness on March 12th when I was in Denver to call a hockey game between the Rangers and the Avalanche, and we started to see the news about Rudy Gobert and the Utah Jazz and the NBA postponing their season, and then the NHL did the same the next day. And then, similar to you guys and all of your listeners, I'm sure, it was 146 straight days at home, which I'm certainly not used to being home for more than 4 or 5 days during normal times at one stretch. So home from March 13th until August 5th, I think it was. And, you know, that was certainly bizarre and surreal to be home for that amount of time. And then I was up in Edmonton, as you alluded to, 37 days in the NHL bubble, which was a terrific experience. The league did a great job, as the NBA did as well. Keeping everybody safe, testing every day inside the bubble, and had the opportunity to call, I think it was 34 hockey games, including 2 game 7s on one day. So I went from 146 days at home to 37 days in Edmonton in the hockey bubble. and then settled into the NFL routine with Fox every Sunday. And we've had some terrific games working with a new partner, Jonathan Vilma, and Shannon Spake on the sidelines this year. So it's been a lot of fun, but it's a lot different. You know, as you can imagine, we're not meeting with players and coaches in person as we would during normal times. We're not attending practices. We're doing all of those meetings via Zoom, which has gone pretty well, and we'll continue to do that for the rest of this season.
It's the voice of Kenny Albert with us here on The Score. And, you know, you saying that just reminded me of something. Weren't you, because we talked about this on the show, you were supposed to do a Bears game, but they wouldn't let you fly in from Canada to do the game because technically you're out of the country. But, like, Canada was doing amazing with COVID, and we were obviously a dumpster fire. So they made poor old Dick Stockton fly from Arizona to do the Bears game instead of you from a bubble in, like, the safest country in the world. Didn't that happen to you this year?
It did. I was scheduled to work the Bears game against the Lions week one, and there was some small print that not many folks were aware of, which had to do with not being allowed to enter an NFL stadium if you had traveled internationally over the last 14 days. And I had been in Edmonton up until September 10th or 11th working the hockey game, so I understood. It was a rule that was put in place by the NFL over the summer. Again, I wasn't aware of it. And it was small print, you know, in the legal documents. But, you know, I sat home, watched the first 2 weeks on television, and got back to work week three.
So Kenny, when I was a kid growing up in New Jersey, obviously your dad was a king of broadcasters. But Uncle Steve and Uncle Al were also on. Were all three of them on as sportscasters at the same time in New York for an extended period of time? That's my memory of it as a young man.
At one point they were, and I'm actually talking to you now from the state of New Jersey. I live in northern New Jersey, so hopefully it gives you some flavor of childhood back home. Al and Steve were longtime play-by-play announcers. They did basketball and hockey and boxing for the most part. Steve did some football and baseball as well. But there was a period of time during the late 70s, early 80s when they were all working in New York. Al and Steve were working at Channel 9, WOR at the time. And I always joke that whenever they came over on holidays, birthdays, other family functions, it was really like the first all-sports radio station, because I would sit around as a kid and listen to the stories about the various teams and leagues and networks that they work for. So I would take everything in via osmosis and just listen to all the stories that they would tell. But all sports radio, as you guys know, did not start until WFAN in New York in 1987. So I think we should have put the patent on it years prior to that.
All right. So I'm assuming that there's that kind of table conversation as you're talking teams. But how about when somebody carves the turkey? Like, is the family breaking down the turkey carving, or are people fighting to do play-by-play of random family events at that point?
Yeah, that probably happened a little bit back then for sure. But what I remember is just all the conversation and all the stories. And, you know, I had a front row seat to all of that. So I'm sure there was some play-by-play of the turkey carving as well.
Did it feel inevitable that this was going to be your career path, given your family background?
To me personally, it did. I was never told you have to do this. I was never forced to broadcast the game into a tape recorder. But I did receive a tape recorder for my birthday when I was 5 or 6 years old, and it was really all that I ever wanted to do. It just seemed like so much fun. I would tag along going to games with my father, with my uncles. I would do stats for them when I was old enough, 15, 16, 17. So, you know, I had friends whose parents were lawyers who wound up going to law school, friends whose parents were doctors who became doctors. So why not? It just seemed like a lot of fun. And although there's a lot of work and travel, the preparation for an NFL game, probably 30 to 40 hours per week for me, but I never feel like I'm working. I never feel like I'm going to work. And I think I'm real fortunate to be able to make that statement.
Joe Buck is a friend of the show. We've talked to him a couple of times. Another man in the business, raised in the business. And I know that he found joy in the St. Louis Blues, a sport he didn't cover and doesn't cover, found like that connective tissue of being a fan watching the Blues on their Stanley Cup run. Do you have a team that you don't cover in a sport you don't cover where the connection remains and exists for you?
Well, during that Blues run, I was working a number of those games on NBC and NBCSN and then on the radio side in the final. And we were texting frequently. Joe would either be watching the game or sitting in the stands, and I know how much it meant to him to be at those games and to watch the St. Louis Blues win their first Stanley Cup with his close connection to the city. I was actually a Vancouver Canucks fan as a youngster, believe it or not. I had scrapbooks, and I would stay up late and not really watch the games because they weren't on in the New York area, but I would turn on the radio to hear the score updates every half hour. So that was my team as a youngster. But, you know, these days I do play-by-play for the New York Rangers on the radio, and obviously the further they go in the playoffs, the better they do, the better it is for our broadcast. And they had a terrific run, three trips to the conference final, a Stanley Cup final appearance in 2014. So, you know, they're really the one team that I'm affiliated with on a full-time basis. As far as the NFL, growing up, I was both a Giants and a Jets fan. They hardly ever played each other, and I would get their games on TV every Sunday. But working NFL on Fox games since 94, you really become neutral to all of the teams, and you wind up rooting for the teams that you have coming up in your games over the next 3 weeks. Those are the teams that you want to do well. But, you know, I always, you know, you want the teams in your area to do well for sure, because it just elevates, you know, the amount of fans that are paying attention and the amount of folks in the media that are talking about those teams and those sports. But for me, the Rangers are the one team that I'm affiliated with. So the better they do, the better it is for our broadcasts.
It's the voice of Kenny Albert here on the Danny Parkin Show with Matt Spiegel in. For Westwood One, he's calling Steelers and Ravens with my guy Ross Tucker Thursday night on Thanksgiving. You'll hear it right here on The Score. Kenny, obviously, huge news in the hockey world. Maybe the most technically sound broadcaster that I've ever heard, Doc Emrick, announces his retirement. You are considered the favorite to replace him. But I am curious, like, what did he teach you, if anything, or what did you learn just from listening and watching him about calling hockey and the art of play-by-play?
I think not only myself, but hundreds and hundreds of hockey broadcasters, whether at the NHL level or in the minor leagues, have so much gratitude towards Doc for what we learned from him, not only personally, those of us who have gotten to know him, and I've first met Doc back in the mid-'80s, so we've had a relationship for about 35 years, but he would take the time when young broadcasters would send him tapes and write letters, and he would answer each and every one of them. I refer to him as the Vin Scully of hockey. For those sports fans around the country who may not watch hockey on a regular basis, he is the Vin Scully of hockey. He's a wordsmith. The phrases that he is able to weave in during games are just incredible. And you know, kudos to Doc for retiring on his own terms when he's still able to enjoy life and went out on top working the Stanley Cup final. I think he won the last seven play-by-play National Emmy Awards. So he's a true gentleman. I had the pleasure of working three Olympics with him, another two working for him when he was not on hand, both in Salt Lake City in 2002 and Pyeongchang in 2018. So I think, again, when you think back to Doc's career, just amazing. When I worked minor league hockey in Baltimore back in the early 90s, Doc was living in Hershey, Pennsylvania at the time, and that was our closest rival. The Skipjacks, the team that I worked for, would play the Hershey Bears 14 times a year, seven home, seven away, and Doc would show up at some of those games, and he would encourage me to send him tapes. So just a gentleman and one of the top people in his profession, in my mind, all time.
You know, Doc, legendary with his word choices, his verb choices. I've heard Al Michaels talk about verbs, too. Both of them have talked about, like, just the power of a well-chosen verb and how that can kind of push your sentence along and give you more opportunity to say stuff. Does that make sense to you? What do you think about verbs, Kenny?
Absolutely. and Doc, you know, I always joke that many of the words and verbs that Doc uses during his broadcasts, if any of us tried to incorporate those words, people would laugh at us. But with Doc, it sounds so perfect, just like Vin Scully on a baseball broadcast. So there was just something magical about it. You know, you heard Doc's voice, you knew it was a big game, an important game, a Stanley Cup final, an all-star game, an Olympics, and, you know, the memories of his calls will, you know, certainly stay with me and so many others in our generation for a long, long time.
Just to backtrack, and last thing from me with Kenny Albert, who again is calling Steelers and Ravens on Westwood One Thursday night on Thanksgiving. You can hear the game right here on The Score. You know, we spent so much time during quarantine on this show talking about The Last Dance, and your dad's calls are there, right? Like, he was a part of it, but he wasn't interviewed for it. Like, do you have a story? Like, do you have a story of your dad from that era of 90s basketball, Bulls stories? I'm sure you were either around for it or he told you about it.
Well, I was watching all those games. I was in my early 20s, you know, back in 1990. I had just turned 22. So throughout that decade, I was watching so many Bulls games, NBA and NBC. But I guess my personal story is that I was with him in 1992 in Barcelona. I was doing the stats for NBC.
Woo.
So I was sitting to his left. Mike Fratello and Quinn Buckner were the analysts, and I had already started my broadcast career. I had done 2 years of minor league hockey up until that point, and I had just been hired to do the Washington Capitals games on home team sports in Maryland, starting with the 92-93 season. But I had done stats with my father for a long time, for many years during my high school and college days, so I joked that that was my final hurrah in the world of sports statistics behind the scenes as I embarked on the NHL play-by-play career. But so many memories in Barcelona, sitting in the front row, watching all the games of the Dream Team. And when I was watching The Last Dance during the pandemic, I pulled out a photo album. This is obviously before the days of camera phones and cell phones, so I had an old camera with me in Barcelona. And a lot of the pictures are blurry. They're not even that clear, but I do have a photo album. I took a picture of Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson all standing together during warm-ups before one of those games. But I was there. I had a front row seat. I was very lucky to watch all of those games. The Angola game, the first game when Charles Barkley, you know, made some comments about how many points they were going to win by, and they did, and right on through the gold medal game. So I was 24 years old at the time, and got to spend 3 weeks in Barcelona watching the Dream Team up close.
Oh, come on, man. That is some life highlight stuff. I mean, you peaked pretty much right there.
Like, I think did. I think you're right. Only downhill from there.
That's Kenny amazing. Albert. So were you that? So you could have been at that practice. That practice is the legendary thing. Where
I was not. I was not at any practice.
Okay.
The security was so tight. You know, they might have gone. The announcers may have gone to some practices, but I just remember walking through the streets of Barcelona, and I did run into. I didn't talk to him because I didn't know him, but I remember seeing John Stockton and his family. And but as far as the others, you never saw them around. You know, they would have gotten mobbed by the fans, you know, as you saw during The Last Dance. And I know they spent a lot of time in the hotel, you know, playing cards and whatever else they were doing in their spare time. But John Stockton, I think, was the only one that I saw out and about in Barcelona.
Yeah, John Stockton can blend in. That guy,
exactly.
That guy can blend in a little easier than Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. Kenny, have a good call, safe travels, and thank you very much for the time. Great stories. Thank you.
Thanks, Danny. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Stay safe, and happy Thanksgiving to you guys and all your listeners as well.
Thanks, Kenny.
Same to you and yours. That's Kenny Albert. He's calling the game with Ross Tucker, Westwood One, Steelers and Ravens, Thanksgiving night. As he said, voice of the Rangers, NBC, NHL. He's NFL on Fox. He's one of the most versatile and talented play-by-play guys in the game.
I didn't know he was a stat guy for the Dream Team in Barcelona. And 3 weeks, by the way, when you're 24 years old in Barcelona. That is, whew. You know, he knows he's a
that probably didn't suck.
That's Lucky Sperm Club action right there. That's hot stuff, mister.
Yeah.
And he knows it.
Yeah.
That's great.
That must have been pretty, pretty cool. Hub Arkish, we appreciate it. Normally do Tuesdays at 4, kind enough to adjust the schedule for us, given that was when Kenny Albert could hop on. So is it Kyle Sloter time? Is it a gift from the basketball guys? Those questions and more with Hub Arkish next on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, Hub, I think you hit a great point there.
Hub Arkish.
The Arkish family in pro football media journalism has been around almost as long as the game itself.
670 The Score's NFL Insider.
This is probably not all that interesting to anybody but us in the media, but James Daniels, he looks bigger in the ass and the thighs again.
Shaw Media and Pro Football Weekly.
Hey, Sox fans, the Xfinity Sports Zone is the ultimate hub for all things sports.
Thought Hub Arkish was the ultimate hub.
Not with Xfinity.
No?
He's got to take a back seat.
Hub takes a back seat to nobody.
Hub Arkish, that's getting better than this.
Hub Arkish with Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
With Matt Spiegel in, Hub Arkish kind enough to push back his normal Tuesday visit a few minutes so we could talk to Kenny Albert. He's also hosting tonight at 6 o'clock when we're done here. He joins us, as always, on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. Hey, Hub.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing very well. And, of course, he's also the host of our pre- and post-game show, the Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com with Hub Olin and Pat Manley, and the Prop Swap postgame show presented by PNC Bank with Hub and Patrick Manley. Hub, wanted you to weigh in on a few things we were talking about earlier in the show. One, in the Around the NFL segment, we had a host on from WIP in Philly, and he said he thinks the excuses are done for Carson Wentz. He thinks that we're going to see Jalen Hurts before the year is over, and it's not necessarily a reflection of Doug Peterson and the system, because Doug Peterson is 10-3 without Carson Wentz. Obviously, there are a lot of Bears parallels to what's happening in Philly, so I'm curious what your perception is of what's happening in Philly.
Well, you know, it's not unlike what's happened here, except that this is a Philadelphia team that won a Super Bowl a few years ago, and what has happened to that roster around Carson Wentz is kind of unfortunate. I mean, Carson Wentz is not playing well. There's no question about that. But look at his supporting cast. I mean, he doesn't even have an Allen Robinson. Miles Sanders is a really nice running back, but there's no depth behind him. You know, Zach Ertz is a great tight end when healthy, which is, you know, maybe half the time. And that offensive line started to get old altogether, and then they had injuries. And then you look over on the defense, other than Fletcher Cox, you don't even know who a lot of these guys are. So, I think that Carson Wentz is definitely struggling, But that whole team is struggling, and it may be fair not to, to lay it at Doug Peterson. But again, if you want parallels to what's going on here in Chicago, Howie Roseman was an NFL Executive of the Year 3 years ago, and I think what's happened to that roster is kind of unfortunate.
Hey, Hub, as we think about what's going on here with the quarterbacks and with Matt Nagy, do you think it's possible that we learn who the starter is from Nick Foles' mouth tomorrow morning at 10:30? That's when he's scheduled to meet the media, correct?
Scheduled, yes, but that schedule tends to be pretty fluid these days. And if it is uncertain as to which, if either, is going to play, I wouldn't be surprised if that gets changed at the last minute. We don't know anything health-wise, Matt. That's the thing. To me, and I've talked about this a couple times on the air already. None of us have ever done what these guys do. I would never pretend to understand the beating that they take, the pain, the injuries, and whatever. But to go off a cart, on a cart, looking as uncomfortable as he did a week ago Monday night, and then to be ready to play this Sunday would be pretty stunning to me, you know. So forgetting his performance and everything else that has gone on, I don't know how he could be healthy. I guess they're going to call it a hip pointer. They said there were no fractures. So we'll see. They called it both a bruised hip and a bruised rear end, gluteus maximus, if you will. We'll see. I don't see how Nick Foles can be healthy enough to play Sunday, let alone, you know, whether or not he's the choice. And we don't really know anything about Mitch's shoulder, but I think the tell there is that with the COVID rules, the IR commitment is only 3 weeks these days. And so when he came back from Los Angeles and they said no surgery, if they thought it was a 3-week rehab, I think they would have taken advantage of IR and brought in another body, but they didn't. So forgetting who would be the better choice, it just seems more likely that the Trubisky, you know, would have a better shot at being healthy than Foles.
Well, that's interesting tea leaf reading right there. Hub, have you said who you think would be the better choice at this point? If both of them are healthy, if you're told tomorrow morning that both of them are healthy, does it make sense to go back to the one who can run since they've both been terrible? That seems to be the consensus we get from experts that we talk to.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that Mitch Trubisky is the better choice right now, particularly at a time when the offensive line is getting healthier. And even if you end up with Mustafer at center and Whitehair at guard, or Whitehair at center and Alex Barrs at guard, they've now got a game or two experience each. With Jason Spriggs, he may be awful in pass protection, but he's a good run blocker. And Rashad Coward has been awful. And so hopefully the bye week has allowed him to heal that knee up a little bit. Even though he was active, a week ago Monday, he didn't play. When you put Mitch Trubisky on the field, it forces the defense to defend a lot more things. And that, if nothing else, is going to create more space for the running game. It also adds the dimension of Mitch making some positive plays with his legs. And I think the most important part, guys, is if you go back and study the tape through those first two and not quite two-thirds games that Mitch played, he threw the ball better than Nick Foles has. He just didn't read the field right, you know. But, I mean, Nick Foles' accuracy has been awful. And so I'm not trying to reignite a quarterback controversy. I'm not saying that Mitch is here now and he's your quarterback of the future. I'm not saying that he wasn't a bad pick. He just seems pretty clearly to be the better option right now based on everything else going on with this football team.
Well, and he's clearly not those things, right? Like, he's clearly not the quarterback of the future. So, I'm at the point where I don't really care. Like, I hope they get it right. I hope they make the playoffs. I hope they make the rest of the season more watchable and interesting than it's been. But whether it's a win-now veteran quarterback that they try to bring in, or a first-round pick, or a second- or third-round pick, like, whatever – I'm pretty convinced that next year's opening day starter at quarterback is not on the roster presently. Do you agree?
No, I think you're probably wrong about that. And the reason, Danny, is because of who else is available. I mean, no matter what happens, they're not going to be in a position to draft Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, and probably not Trey Lance, although we don't really know where he's going to fit. And none of these other guys, are surefire first-round prospects, or B, certainly not surefire opening-day rookie starters. So now you go to the veterans. The only starting quarterbacks that are going to be available in free agents in free agency are Phillip Rivers, if he doesn't retire and if he doesn't re-sign with Indianapolis, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tyrod Taylor. And Nick Foles is going to be here because he's not going to opt out. I mean, it's not like he's going to get a better free agency deal somewhere else. So if you've got Nick Foles here, are you really going to bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick or Tyrod Taylor? You know, so A, it looks like Foles with a real offseason gets a shot. And then B, what do you do with Mitch? I mean, do you try and do a one-year prove-it deal? It depends on what happens these next 5 or 6 weeks, because contrary to your belief, and I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm just saying, you know, that the fat lady hasn't sung yet. I mean, it certainly doesn't look like he's ever going to be a franchise quarterback, but I give you Ryan Tannehill, you know, just as one example, and he's certainly not the only example. And so until you have proved without a shadow of a doubt that he's not that guy, and you've got these 6 weeks to take a look at it, where he gives you a better option, you gotta take a look, and then we see what happens in the next. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 weeks. They've certainly got favorable matchups. You know, they don't face a good defense the rest of the way out. If you think about that, yes, the Packers two games are games that they figure to get beat. They're going to be underdogs, but the Packers' defense is lousy. You know, the Vikings' defense isn't nearly as good as it played against the Bears last week. Are you worried about Detroit or Jacksonville or Houston? So there is a chance for either one of these guys to play better, and I think the first guy you look at is Trubisky.
Well, I don't know if you want to gamble on it, but I'll make the bet with you right now. That there's a quarterback that we're not thinking of that's the opening day starter. And maybe they draft a guy and he's not ready week one and it ends up being Foles for a few weeks. But I just think they have to move on organizationally from Mitch. And if he becomes Ryan Tannehill, it's going to happen elsewhere. Like, it's not going to happen here. And you could trade, right? I mean, you didn't mention Jameis Winston. Let's see what happens with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. Let's see if there's a surprise cut from a team that maybe does try to shed some salary and draft a kid in the first round. Like, I don't know. Like, is it at all possible that Atlanta moves on from Ryan unexpectedly if they trade up and draft a quarterback in the first round, just to, like, throw out a name of a veteran? So I'll make the bet with you right now if you want, and I certainly don't think Trubisky's going to be here.
Well, I'm not predicting that Mitch is going to be here. I think I think you said the bet was that the opening day quarterback's not on the roster.
Yeah. He's on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, it's more likely to be Foles, although I will tell you, I promise you, whether there's anything behind it or not, you're going to hear somebody come up with the rumor that possibly they would trade Nick Foles for Alex Smith and then draft a quarterback high to develop. That could make sense because
sign me up. Yes.
Well, I believe Smith's contract still has some serious money on it. And they're done with Dwayne Haskins apparently, you know, so, and the Redskins are probably going to be Washington, is probably going to be drafting higher than the Bears. So that's one that you'll hear. Yeah. I mean, all the things you're talking about are possible, but I'm hard pressed to see any of them right now because the missing piece in all this is that the Bears also going into free agency will be about $2 million over the cap. And that's without Allen Robinson, without Tayshaun Gibson, without Jermaine Ifedi, without Roy Roberts, without a bunch of people, you know. And so there's going to be cap issues to deal with, too. So now when you start trading about, you know, talking about trading and taking on some of these contracts, you know, especially with Carson Wentz, you know, I don't see that happening. And really, if you're trying to make up for a mistake with Mitch Trubisky, are you going to try and rehab Carson Wentz when the Eagles are quitting on him? So, yeah, this is going to be all the fun hot stove stuff, but how much of it really makes any sense? That's the issue. I'll tell you the bet we can make. Here's what's probably a pretty painless bet for you. I will bet you that it's either Foles or Trubisky opening day next year, and the bet will be, if I'm right, I get to host your show and you have to be my sidekick for one afternoon.
What do I get?
You get to be my sidekick for one afternoon while I host your show. Tell me what you want. I don't know. I'm just trying to throw a bet. I don't bet money. Money's too valuable to me to bet.
No, I like that. It's a radio services bet.
Tell me what you want to bet. You know, I'll consider it. I don't know.
All right. Well, Danny, you think about it.
All right.
That.
Well, first of all, Hub doesn't follow me on Twitter. So we have to write that wrong. Because that's just straight up disrespectful.
Well, hold on, Danny. Would you want to hang out with you column? If you weren't you? Sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's a good point. Yeah, you've got to follow me on Twitter and allow me to write a guest column that you publish for Pro Football Weekly. Topic of my choice related to pro football.
I'll tell you what. I am happy to follow you on Twitter as soon as we get off the air. Don't take that personally. I don't follow anybody on Twitter. It's not you I'm not following. I'm just not a Twitter fan. But I'll get the follow in as soon as we're done. And the guest columnist is easy to do. Okay.
There it is. Guest columnist. Okay. Danny Parkins, so potentially.
I like it. So just the terms of the bet. Opening day starter for the Bears next year. I say not on the roster presently. You say on the roster. If he is on the roster, you are in the driver's seat for afternoon drive. I'm the co-host. And whoever else is a part of it is, you know, riding shotgun to you. If they're not on the roster, I get to write a column that you publish at Pro Football Weekly. I love this. That's a great bet.
Sounds good. Now you know how this is going to come down, don't you? You know who's going to be the opening day starter next year?
Tyler Bray.
There you go.
Right? But that's what I'm saying. Because you said on the roster, and Hub was specific about Foles and Trubisky. So this is my question, Hub. How irrational is it for a man? I've heard from two people. One was a texter, Peoria Matt. He's ready for the Kyle Sloter era. Then I heard somebody else in my family who says that they're ready for the Kyle Sloter era. In a year where Brett Rippon has started a game, where Ben DiNucci has started a game at quarterback in the NFL, where Philip Walker of XFL fame was just pretty good for Carolina the other day. How irrational is it to pine for either Tyler Bray or Kyle Sloter and see what the hell you have on the roster?
Well, with Sloter, it's completely irrational because here's a guy who started 1 year in college, and the only reason he got the start was because the starter at Northern Colorado got hurt, you know? And so, I mean, the guy has no credentials whatsoever that I'm aware of. I mean, he's an athlete. He's got an arm. But this would be way beyond the Kurt Warner starter story. You know, Tyler Bray was not a bad college quarterback, and he's been around for a while. And, you know, he's one of these guys who could become the Josh McCown story or the Ryan Fitzpatrick. Although Ryan Fitzpatrick actually had some credits coming out of school. To long for Sloter is really, I mean, at that point, you're just not being serious about it anymore.
Oh, well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's what's happening with these people. But, I mean, Kyle Sloter's preseason as a member of the Denver Broncos in 2017, when he went 31 of 43 with 413 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. No, I know. Yeah, I kid on that. But this is a pretty remarkable list of mediocre or bad or no-name quarterbacks that have played this year. Jake Luton, a sixth rounder, getting a lot of starts for Jacksonville.
Well, this is what the NFL has come to. Everybody who thinks the quarterback problem is unique to the Chicago Bears hasn't been paying attention. There's only about maybe, 15 to 18 of the 32 teams that have, forget franchise, quality NFL starters. The rest are all starting guys who you don't know if they'll be back next year. And then you get to who has a number two. And now we're talking about a number three or a number four. So, yeah, I mean, it's the realities of the league this day. They say it's the most important position in all of sports. And, you can see how few and far between they are. I think what gets lost in this conversation, though, guys, and Danny, I didn't answer the initial question correctly, is I'm not convinced that Andy Reid's system should be played by any team but the Kansas City Chiefs because they have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman and, all these other guys. I mean, it takes such unique weapons to do the things that they do. And I think what finally caught up with Doug Peterson is that, in that Super Bowl year, you had Alshon Jeffrey playing at the top of his game. And Jordan Matthews and Nelson Aguilar were nice options. Now they've got no receivers there. They've only got one running back. The Bears have got Allen Robinson, and that's about it. Plus, the Bears' offensive line is awful. I just don't know that Andy Reid's system is something that every NFL team should aspire to because it takes such a unique roster to make it work.
I mean, we don't have time what, a Super Bowl, 5 NFC championships in Philly, Alex Smith, multiple playoff trips, a playoff win, had the Patriots on the edge of it. I disagree. Andy Reid with McNabb, Mike Vick, Jeff Garcia, Alex Smith, very good, successful system, very good, successful offense. Andy Reid with a Hall of Famer and Pat Mahomes, record setting. So I do think it can be duplicated if as long as you have above average QB play.
Well, yeah, but Danny, I think what you may be missing there, if you go back and watch some tape, he was not playing this scheme in Philadelphia with Donovan McNabb. He was a pure West Coast guy back in those days. This has evolved over the years, what they're doing now, particularly with some of this zone read and the RPOs. They weren't running RPOs with Donovan McNabb back in the day.
They were with Alex Smith.
Well, that's, I said, Kansas City. This is a scheme that has evolved since he got to Kansas City. And I always thought Alex Smith was a hell of a quarterback, you know, but they certainly weren't running it as well as they're running it now. They couldn't win a playoff
game.
Well, but they also couldn't win a playoff game with Alex Smith, you know, so I come to, again, it is just now with this group that they've started to have, you know, all this main success. And again, I'm not saying it can't be done. It's why
Nick Foles won a Super Bowl with it.
Yes, he did, you know, and again, that was, you know, Carson Wentz helped get him there, because if they don't get off to, I forget what they were, maybe 10-2 or something like that when Foles took over, or, you know, they were playing really well, not 10-2, but they were playing really well when he took over. So yes, it can be done. I think what we've seen is it can't be done with the personnel the Bears have here.
Yes. Yeah, no, that we 100% agree on. Hub will be on tonight at 6:00, and we made a bet. This was a productive segment of radio. Hub, thank you.
All right, guys, take care. Have a great holiday, everybody.
Thank you so much,
you
Hub.
You as well.
I love the subtle and somehow comfortable tension between the two of you that exists before the interview even begins, and then always finds a foothold to go even stronger as the interview rolls on. It's delightful because both of you are fine with it. You're both very comfortable with it. So the only one squirming is me, who doesn't really like discomfort very much.
Can I tell you the crazy thing about my conversations with Hub?
Yeah.
I don't find them uncomfortable. I don't.
That's you.
It doesn't even. And people are like, man, you and Hub don't like each other. I'm like, I don't think that's true at all. And Hub has said, he's like, I like you. We just disagree on football sometimes. I find that interesting. Like a disagreement over sports. I don't know. I thought that was like what sports talk radio was based on. Like,
if
I don't
he
think
was hungry,
that's a bad
if he
thing
was
at all.
Hungry and you had an extra half sandwich, you know, you're giving it
yeah,
to him.
Give
you
Hub a sandwich.
You would? Really?
Of course.
Doesn't
of course.
Sound that
now,
way.
I would explain Andy Reid's offensive genius to Hub. I would help him out there. You know, I'd modernize him a little. I'd bring him a little bit more to this century, and he'd tell me stories about back in the day, and you know, it'd be a blend.
I understand. Well, he took it where I was trying to go with my Carson Wentz intrigue and my Doug Peterson bloom off the rose, but I didn't realize that he felt that strongly about it. And I'm glad that he points out the Andy Reid history in Philly, which was very much West Coasty with all those different guys, Kevin Cobb and everybody that he made look good. It wasn't quite this. And I think Andy's a really good play caller. He's a really good play designer and play caller.
Hey, Tanny, how would you grade my ability to stay on the clock this hour?
It's horrible. It's all the time. I know you asked Tanny, but it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Just listen.
Yeah. Now I got to get better at it. It's true.
You know,
this can be an off-air conversation or it can be an on-air conversation.
It definitely can't be on-air right now at this moment.
No, it can't. We have to break. No.
Okay, yeah, we're too late.
Speaks, can you turn the light on, please?
Yeah.
It's the Danny Parker Show with Matt Spiegel and an angry Shane Reardon on the score.
Take us to break.
We don't have much time, so I'll just mention that Shane Reardon went 0-for-3 in the championship game of his softball game. With an error. So
man,
that's really all the time we have. He is really, really bad at softball. Shane, I'd love to offer you up the time for a rebuttal, but don't make
bad.
Us late to break.
Shut up. Shut up.
I actually made it up out of thin air just to make him mad. It's the Danny Parker Show with Matt Spiegel in on the score.
Oh, O'Reilly!
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.